Reminding us of the up-and-coming summer series, and I just want to encourage you to mark your calendars. You know, normally what we do as a congregation each year is we have a Wednesday night series, and it's usually 2 weeks, or 2 months, excuse me, throughout the summer. This year, as a leadership, we decided to kind of change that up a little bit. We are going to have the summer series on Wednesday nights, starting in August, but it'll only go through August. But what we decided also to do is do a Sunday morning series. So you will be seeing and hearing from different speakers on Sunday morning. It will not be back-to-back weeks, just so everybody knows that. But it begins in July, and Wayne Roberts will be here to kick off that series for us. That series is about 6 lessons, and it'll go through most of the summer, so it's going to be spread out. But I encourage you to mark your calendars for that. The speakers are going to bring some great lessons, and I know they're going to focus on our faith on Sunday morning, our faith being something that is important every day of our life, and not just Sunday. And I think that goes for all of us. We know that Christianity is so much more than just what we're doing this morning. This is a part of it, very important part of it, but it's not all of it. And we know that. And so they're going to help us with that. Also want to say happy Father's Day. We appreciate all of you dads, fathers, grandfathers. You hold an extremely important office in our lives, in this world. And we just want to thank you. And I'm so glad that we have this day to remember our fathers. Some of us, our fathers are still alive. Some of us, they aren't, but we still remember them. I said a prayer this morning just thinking of the things that I am thankful for that my father left me, some of the positive things that our dads leave us. Now, Proverbs, I love Proverbs. It speaks so much about its wisdom literature. And the Proverbs writer writes in chapter 13:1 that a wise son accepts his father's discipline. And chapter 15, verse 5 says that a fool rejects that. And we understand that. And it reminds me of other, I would call this, it's not in Proverbs, but it is some wisdom literature. As someone once said, young men think old men are fools, but old men know that young men are fools. We understand that. We understand that through experience. And that's a general thing. It doesn't mean every young person is a fool, but that's when we tend to do our foolish living, isn't it? When we are in our youth. And so those of us who have grown older, we know that. We've understood that. And we all know how important it is, and we've stressed this the last several weeks, even months here, how everyone needs experience to show us the way. All of us need wisdom. We need somebody who has gone on before us, a people who have gone on before us. God knew that in His infinite wisdom. He gave us earthly fathers, didn't He? He gave us leaders, people who would lead us in that way. But I'm sad to say I see in our society that we're living in a time that disregards this, that doesn't understand the value of wisdom and experience, those who have already lived this. It reminds me of a story I read in John Eldridge's book. If you're looking for a good book to read, men, John Eldridge wrote a book called The Way of the Wild Heart. It's a really good book on leadership, mentoring, fathering, but also struggling through life when you're older because of the things perhaps that were neglected in our own childhood by our leaders, by our fathers and others. And it helps you through that process. It's a great book, but he tells a story in his introduction about a time that his family went on a vacation. They went to Alaska and they went kayaking in the sea. They had a guide, and it was about lunchtime, and they went ashore to have lunch on the, you may have heard of the Chichagof Islands. I believe that's how you pronounce it, a place where there's all kinds of wild critters, as there is in Alaska. It is a place that is known for humongous grizzly bears. But they were eating their lunch, and he tells his story that the guide, when they were through, said, do you guys want to go on a little hike? And they said, sure. So John and his children, his wife and family, they followed this guide, and he took them into the forest for about 20 minutes. They were trekking through this dense forest in Alaska. When all of a sudden, he said, we came to this clearing. We came out of the trees into this great big clearing. It was actually a bog, a deep marsh. And it was about 400 yards across, so it was a big bog. But he said, we have to be here at this time, because if we don't, if it's evening, the grizzly bears are all over this area. But that bog and marsh was a very dangerous place. And so he took them, the guide took them to this spot on the other end of this boggy area. And there was this very narrow place that it was risen about 2 feet off of the bog. And it went all the way across. And that, he said, this was formed and made by grizzly bears of other generations that had gone on perhaps for hundreds of years. And he said, you could see these humongous prints that were packed down, and then they would be spread several feet apart. And then there would be these little prints that were in them through this trail that went across this bog. And he said, this is how the elders show the younger how to follow and where to go. And I thought, man, that is such a great thing and fitting for fathers as we think about our lives as those that leave behind prints for the younger generations, for the younger ones to follow. It is said the respect for General Douglas MacArthur was great, and still to this day, he is highly respected. James Dobson, in one of his books, called him one of his heroes, and not just his, but many people's hero, this great, great military leader, as many of you remember, MacArthur. The one who led Allied forces to victory over the Imperial Japanese Army in World War II, also commanded the United Nations in Korea. It is said that his surprise landing on Incheon was one of the most brilliant, still to this day, one of the most brilliant maneuvers in all of history, of all of the history of warfare. These accomplishments explain why after his death, MacArthur today is even regarded and respected as one of the greatest military leaders and leaders. But there's another reason. Dobson writes in his book, Bringing Up Boys, about this respected man that was given an award in 1942 for being a good father. In his speech, MacArthur said these words. I want you to hear the words of this great military leader. He said in his speech, "Nothing touched me more deeply than this honor given to me by the National Father's Day Committee. By profession, I am a soldier, and I take great pride in that fact. But I am prouder, infinitely prouder, to be a father. A soldier destroys in order to build up, but a father only builds, never destroys. The one has the potentialities of death, the other embodies creation and life. And while the hordes of death are mighty, the battalions of life, MacArthur said, are mightier still. And it is my hope that my son, when I am gone, will remember me not from battle, but in the home." What a speech by a great man that is highly respected. But you know, when we look at it from God's standpoint, when God wanted his nature, when God wanted to be understood by his people, how did he reveal himself? He revealed himself as Father. And I think that's probably the best way that we understand as children and recognize who God is. If you didn't know of God as Father, how would you view him today? How would you see this God and creator of life? Especially those Those of you who are starving in your life for forgiveness and longing and desiring to have that forgiveness. For those of us who long to rid ourselves of that guilty past sinful life that we wrestle with and that ugly monster rears its head once in a while. It is Father, God as Father, I think that helps us best in those moments. I'm also personally convinced that God as our Father helps us better in our communication to Him, right? We know no father's perfect. None of us. I think every father has some regret somewhere. Maybe something we said or something we didn't do, right? Not every father will listen either. But it is my experience that most fathers, at those critical moments when their children really need us, we listen to them. Just as God, as our Father, listens to us when we need to talk. I think of my dad. I think of my stepfather, Bill. Anytime I needed to really talk, I could talk. And that's what a father does. Think about Jesus when he wanted to explain to the disciples what God's nature was like. And the disciples came to him and they requested of Jesus to show us how to pray, right? They said, "Will you teach us how to pray?" What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 6, 9 in that area? We know it as the Lord's Prayer. He says, "You pray in this way." And how does he begin the prayer? We all know it. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So he begins it with "Our Father in heaven." I always think of the story of the little boy that heard this prayer over and again, and here's how he prayed it. "Our Father who does art in heaven, Howard is his name." Yes, while it is true, church and family and friends, that we behold the very goodness of God, we also behold the very severity of our God, that He is above all. While it is true that God is righteous, God is just, that He is powerful, and that the Bible says specifically in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21 to around verse 32 that His wrath will be revealed against man's ungodliness. While all of that is true, it is also true that He's our Father. That He is our loving Heavenly Father, as Paul would reveal, and we usually don't get this far in this text of Ephesians chapter 4, 5, where Paul says there is one Lord, right? That there is one faith, there is one baptism. But then he says, there is one God and Father. There is just one. God and Father, he says, who is over all, who is through all, and who is in all. The Father. You know, in some families, we know situations where dads have left the kids behind, and sometimes this is by choice, sadly to say. Other times it is not by choice, where fathers and leaders have left the home and even this world. I was thinking about my friend that I grew up with, a friend of mine who was 9 years old when there was a tragic accident, dune buggy riding, and his dad was killed. And through my years of spending time with him, and I believe even into his older years, he never really got over that. He wrestled really with that void of his father, and we can understand that. We feel that. Some of us have experienced it. But you know what? David will reveal that even though we need our earthly fathers, and even though it would be terrible, it is terrible and heart-wrenching when we lose our earthly fathers, God has never left us without a father. Think about that. God has never left us without a father. As Psalm 68, verse 5 and 6 records, "A father of the fatherless and a judge for the widows is God in his holy habitation. God makes a home." I love this. God makes a home for the lonely. God never leaves us without a father because He is a father of the fatherless. Psalm 103:13. "Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him." Let me share this with you. This took place in 98. Statistics I want to read this to you. A total of 1,202,107 people. So a little over 1.2 million people, and 98 were in federal and state prison, or state prison. Of those, 94% of those inmates were males, men. 94%. Of the 3,452 people, so nearly 3,500 prisoners in 98, waiting for death row to be executed, listen to this, only 48 of those were women. Only 48 of those were women, which means 98% were men. That's why one woman said, "It is far easier to build strong children than to repair broken men," and we would amen that. We're better off to go through the discipline that it takes to build up strong children than to repair broken ones. We all know the challenge of trying to repair broken men and broken children. And so I want to encourage us in our lesson this morning that we need to be a people that see the importance and the value of building strong children rather than repairing broken homes. And one way that we build those strong children for us as fathers is to take the responsibility God wants me to take. And I feel that responsibility today. I don't know about you dads, but I really do. That I have the complete responsibility of the spiritual leadership in my household. That's a major responsibility. And to illustrate the importance of this, listen to this. This came out of one of Dobson's book as well, a census that was taken. It was a greeting card company. I'll never forget when I read this. There was a greeting card company that went into prisons. They wanted to offer on Mother's Day any prisoner to send a card to their mother. And out of all those prisoners that were there, they sent, almost all of them sent cards to their mothers. Mothers got their cards. Well, they decided to do this. There were such long lines with the prisoners. They decided to do this for the fathers. So Father's Day came around and they got these cards and for the prisoners. And according to this story, not a single card from these prisoners were sent to a father. Now, I don't know all that that says, but it says something about the importance of those who leave the wisdom for us to follow and who don't. And I think that's what we're dealing with in our society. How important you are, men. Fathers, grandfathers, whoever you are, how important you are in your influence that will be on the children. And not just on the children, but on the children's children. Remember in our generational faith lessons, we were stressing this as God stressed it to Israel. He wanted faithfulness from all the generations. We all know that the way to build strong nations is by righteousness. And we're all striving to be this way, church. Psalm 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Unrighteousness is a disgrace to any people. You know, when elections come around, we talk a lot about presidents and how we need a new president, how we need a new policy, or how we need new politicians, and maybe we do. But I think we understand that a new president and new policies isn't what is going to save our children. A president isn't going to do that. That is not his job. But father and leaders who assume their responsibility will save children. What we really need are fathers who will assume that responsibility of leadership in home and leadership in life. Too many men cop out of this responsibility and don't assume this responsibility. And we feel the effect of it in home, in society, life, and even in the church. I was thinking of a preacher I heard one time that was a missionary, and he was saying this very same thing was going on in Australia. It's not just America that struggles with this. In Australia, it was going on, and he said when he was a missionary over there, there was a mother and a daughter who were coming to services, and he went to visit them one day in their home. Well, the husband said proudly to the preacher or to the missionary, "My wife does our church going for us." Well, the preacher quickly responded, "She may also have to go to heaven one day for you too." Gaylord Nelson wrote, "The ultimate test of a man's conscience may be in his willingness to sacrifice something today for future generations whose words of thanks will not be heard." The ultimate test, I want to say that again, of a man's conscience may be in his willingness to sacrifice something today for future generations whose words of thanks will not be heard. You know, this is not to downplay women at all. And you know I would never do that, church. I would never say anything against mothers because we know, for the most part, mothers save their children. This isn't my point in what I'm trying to say here. But research, and you can go and do your own research, but the research says that a father has the largest impact on the formation of a child's character than anybody else. There is nobody in this world that has a greater impact on the character of children than fathers. So I want us all to pledge today, as fathers, as anybody really, because this applies to all of us, but that we will all work together to build strong children. To be like those large bears that create this path over the dangerous bog for their little cubs who will one day walk generations later. To pledge that, to build strong children, because that's what we need. That's what the church needs. That's what this nation needs, isn't it? George MacDonald, the great children's author, said, "When we are out of sympathy for the young," are you out of sympathy for the young today? We got to get that sympathy back. MacDonald said, "When we are out of sympathy with the young, then I think our work in this world is over." We can never get to the point we are not sympathetic with the youth, with the young. Today, maybe you're looking to give a Father's Day gift. I don't know, kids, maybe you've already done it. Maybe you've given Dad a gift today, but if you're looking for a gift, I want to leave you one this morning that all of us actually could leave our fathers, and I believe it's the greatest gift that anybody could leave a father. And it's the advice of John, and it's to heed the advice that he gave in 3 John, I believe it is verse 4, when he said this, and he's writing to spiritual children, but he said, "I have no greater joy than this, than to hear of my children walking in the truth." I think as fathers, as parents, as anybody, we would say, that's the greatest gift that you could give me, as my son, as my daughter, as my children, to choose to walk in the truth. Let's leave our prints for the younger to follow. That's the lesson this morning. We're going to stand and sing, and Kent's going to lead us. This is a time if you need prayers or encouragement, or you're ready to be baptized into Jesus, to obey the gospel, to be washed of every sin in your life. This is the opportunity to do it. As we stand, as we sing, would you come?